You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
A new study looking into the best ways to recover from multi-pronged nicotine addiction has just been launched. While typical addiction recovery methods include weaning off a product or using a lighter dosage, this study looks into a new drug, cytisine, which can help reduce nicotine addiction. The study aims to find the most effective way for people to make a clean break from nicotine dependence. To discuss the drug, addiction recovery, and what this study could mean more broadly, producer Pranuja spoke to author and professor Chris Bullen from the University of Auckland.
Now, to start broadly, what did you mean in your article by multi-pronged nicotine addiction?
Okay, so what we're finding is that people used to just smoke cigarettes, and that was it. And then some new products have come into the marketplace over the last 10 or 15 years, primarily vapes. And so quite a high proportion of people took up vaping, often as a means to cut down or quit smoking. And then recently we've had heated tobacco products, and now people are starting to use other products. There's shisha and water pipes, also oral nicotine pouches, which aren't legal for sale in New Zealand, but people are buying them or accessing them online. So there's this growing group of products that all contain nicotine, which is a highly addictive substance, most of whom are smoking intermittently or daily and using these other products in association with smoking. So what we're interested in is finding a way through for people who want to get off nicotine to find ways of helping them to do that. And there's very little evidence for what works out there in the world of research currently, because there's so much change happening. It's very rapid with the arrival of all these new products on the market.
Now, is the issue mainly fueled by nicotine dependence or like a pattern of habit or convenience or cost or all of those kind of things put together?
Great question. It's actually all of those things together, but underlying them is nicotine dependence. That's the one common denominator. But, you know, there are fads, what other people are doing, affects our behaviour. Also, particularly online marketing for things like nicotine pouches. There's a discount on the tobacco that's been promoted by our government in heated tobacco products, 50% reduction in the price, because the government believes that they might be a way of helping people who smoke to move to potentially a less harmful product. So it is quite confusing out there for people, what's safe, what's safer, what's harmful, what's not so harmful. And so all these factors are affecting how people behave, and but underlying it is nicotine addiction.
You've received funding from the Health Research Council for a three-year study comparing cytisine with gradually tapering off nicotine products. What exactly will the study be testing?
Yeah, well, it's the question is, does cytisine help people to quit all forms of nicotine, particularly smoking? If we can't help people quit smoking, we've kind of failed, because it's such a harmful thing to do. There's 50 plus years of research evidence around the harms of smoking. But if we can help people who are smoking and using other products, who want to quit all forms of nicotine, they're tired of spending their money on something that doesn't do anything for them, particularly apart from deal with their nicotine cravings, then that's the aim. So cytisine has been shown to be effective in smoking. And in one or two short-term studies, it's been shown to help people who vape and want to quit vaping. But we don't have any evidence for its use with oral nicotine products or heated tobacco products. So we're trying to address a gap in the evidence. Now, the other arm of the study that people could be randomly assigned to, beside the cytisine treatment for 12 weeks, is what we call tapering. And that's what a lot of people do to try and get off smoking, is just to gradually cut down the number of cigarettes they smoke. It's just a really simple concept. With vapes and other products, it's possible you can continue to vape at the same frequency, but you could have a lower strength nicotine product, for example, or a lower strength nicotine pouch. So So there are kind of two ways of reducing your dose over a 24-hour period. It's to reduce the frequency that you take the product, or you could reduce the concentration of nicotine in that product. So we're going to offer a range of ways for people to taper and cut down, and both groups will get some support, what we call written behavioural support, which has been shown to be effective in people who both smoke and vape, just to help provide some kind of psychological support and tips for how to deal with their cravings as they go through that journey.
And the article mentions that cytosine is also a compound found in kofi trees. What's the connection there?
Yeah, that's really interesting, isn't it? So some work has been done trying to identify if cytosine can be found in different trees in New Zealand, because the cytosine that's used in some countries around the world for as a smoking cessation treatment is extracted from a tree called the Cytisus laburnum tree, which is grown in plantations in Eastern Europe. And people have wondered, well, could similar trees that belong to the same family of trees around in other parts of the world have cytosine in them? And the fact is that work's been done here in New Zealand and it's been found in the kofi tree. However, you know, I'm not suggesting people go eating kofi seeds or pods or anything like that, because, you know, it's a toxin. It's evolved in plants as a naturally occurring insecticide, which could make people feel very sick. And, you know, if people took huge doses, could potentially make them comatose or even die. So we're not suggesting that at all. But what it does point to is the potential to have our own cytosine, you know, pharmaceutical industry here in New Zealand. So there's potentially an opportunity. And I know there's one company already interested in exploring this opportunity here in New Zealand.
And just touching on this nicotine-related harm, you mentioned earlier about how cigarettes are the most harmful when it comes to smoking, and that there's more research needed around the long-term effects of vaping. How should people understand the different levels of harm when it comes to that?
Yeah, it's a great question, and it can be quite confusing because you're getting different messaging, and, you know, pretty much every week there's some newspaper headline or news article headline online which says, you know, vaping will kill you or cause cancer, etc. But we know an awful lot about smoking and its harms, and that's absolutely the most harmful of all these products that contains nicotine. It's not really the nicotine that harms you, but nicotine is the thing that keeps you using the product. And so the cigarettes, smoking cigarettes, are really harmful because of all the other products. They're just the vehicle for conveying these products to people, but fundamentally the nicotine keeps people hooked, but it's all the other stuff in cigarettes that can cause cancer or heart disease, etc. Whereas vaping is a little less complex than cigarette smoke, so the vapor that people inhale when they vape contains, most products contain nicotine, but it also contains some contaminants and flavors and so forth, which haven't often been tested for inhalation in humans. So there's a lot about vapes that we don't know, except that the evidence to date suggests they're not, certainly not as harmful as smoking, but they're not without harm. So my message to people, if they're smoking, is to quit as soon as you can. If you're vaping, it's a great idea to just use that to get off smoking, but don't keep vaping any longer than you need to. It's not a great thing to just take up as a behavior by itself, because it's not without harm. And then these other products, like heated tobacco products, is probably somewhere between vapes and cigarette smoking for harmfulness, because they involve heating or toasting tobacco. And so you're going to get some of the same constituents in tobacco smoke will be found in heated tobacco products. Whereas the oral nicotine pouches, you're not inhaling those, you're just ingesting or swallowing or absorbing through the lining of your mouth the nicotine and not very much else. So on a scale of harm, much likely to be less harmful than all of the inhaled products, but still there may be some risk of irritation in the lining of the mouth. So we don't know the full story on all nicotine pouches, but likely to be a lot less harmful. But why start something that costs you for no particular benefit? would be my question.
That was Professor Chris Bullen from the University of Auckland speaking about his upcoming and ongoing research into nicotine addiction recovery methods.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.